So thank everybody for being here. I think we're going to go down to House Bill 2062. And
you want to open a work session?
Yeah. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2062.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2062 is the measure that requires operators and passengers of Class 1 and Class 3 all-terrain vehicles to wear motorcycle helmets with a fastened chin strap. You have before you now the Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2 amendments do two things. It exempts employees of a utility that provide electrical, water, gas, or telecommunication services in the performance of that employee's official duties from wearing a motorcycle helmet with the fastened chin strap. It also exempts an operator from helmet requirements while the ATV is being loaded or unloaded from a truck or trailer. Both of these exemptions apply to, you'll see them both in two places on that amendment, because they do both apply to the offense of failure to wear a helmet while operating the vehicle on premises open to the public, and then there's a separate section regarding the offense of endangering the operator or passenger. So you'll see those exemptions in both places. We have a no revenue impact. We're still waiting for the fiscal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. Colleagues, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill or move Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2062.
I have a motion. Representative Tomei moves the Dash 2 amendments dated 3907 to House Bill 2062. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion. Okay, I was trying to decide if we need to do a roll call, but.
For the amendment.
Okay. Without objection, the Dash 2 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2062 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Does it need to go to. Doesn't need to go anywhere else, does it? Okay. Okay.
Yes. Representative Tomei moves House Bill 2062 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the leadership that you've brought to House Bill 2062 and allowing the amendments that bring more reasonableness to this measure. With that said, however, I still feel that that this should be an individual's decision as to whether or not they wear a helmet on an ATV, and so I'll be casting a no vote on House Bill 2062.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Any other discussion?
Madam Chair, I just want to call attention to the staff measure summary to the last paragraph, which states that Consumer Product Safety Commission study reported that helmets could have saved the lives of nearly 25% of the people who died from head injuries and ATV accidents. And so for that reason, I'll be voting yes.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, we'll go back to those of the opinion House Bill 2062 should be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler? Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Meyer?
Aye. House Bill 2062 as amended, receiving is declared passed. For the record, Representative Butler is excused. Thank you.
You need a carrier for this, Madam Chair, or do you want to put it on the consent calendar?
Well, it's not unanimous, right. So yes, I need a carrier.
I'll carry it.
Exactly where would you carry it, Representative?
Representative Tomei, any objections? Seeing none? Okay. We'll go on down to House Bill 2176.
Madam Chair, members, HB 2176 removes the state health officer from the obligation to determine medical eligibility to safely operate a motor vehicle. It establishes that responsibility with the Department of Transportation, hiring their own medical determination officer. It allows the department to employ or enter into an agreement with any qualified physician, nurse practitioner, or physician's assistant as determined by rule to perform those duties. You have before you two amendments for your consideration with this measure. The dash two amendments require the medical determination officer to review any recommendations from healthcare professionals regarding the frequency of reestablishing eligibility for a driver's license or permit. It directs the department to consider reported information in determining a person's eligibility for a driver's license or driver's permit. It does also direct the Department of Transportation to provide for probationary driver permits. The dash three amendments are not mutually exclusive. The dash three amendments have come back to the committee because it will entitle a person denied driving privileges to a hearing under ORS 809.440. I provided that reference for you from the Oregon Vehicle Code. That is their hearing and administrative review procedures. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, we're in work session?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think I opened it. I can open it again. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2176.
Thank you.
Just to be sure.
Just to be sure.
colleagues, is there a motion on this?
Madam Chair, I move the dash two amendments to the 2176.
Representative Tomei moves the dash two amendments dated 3207 to House Bill 2176. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, can I just take 1 minute here just to review this for
yes,
the first time?
Yes.
Madam Chair, is that a typo in the effects of committee amendments? Directs department to consider reported information? I would assume that's what that means, isn't it? Is that just a typo in the second line?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, actually, it's repeating. If you look on the amendment, we're modifying on page 2, line 14. It's really already having the department consider information, the information reported to determine, and we're modifying language here. So instead of being saying to use that material to determine whether or not they're eligible, basically under the mental or physical impairment statute, it's now directly saying that the information will be used, and you'll see the language in the amendment now inserting that, in fact, they're using it to determine eligibility.
Just wondering if this works department
Oh, the department is missing. Sorry, I misunderstood the question. It is the Department of Transportation.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
To consider.
Colleagues, is there any interest in having the department and to come up? So Jack and Mr. You can.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jack Evans of the Department of Transportation, and here to answer your questions.
Okay. So,
Madam Chair,
Representative Tillman.
Thank you. Could you talk about the two amendments, dash two and the dash three amendments? And I assume that you're the ones who proposed those amendments.
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, that's correct. And I don't have the dash two in front of me, but I understand that's the one that deals with the term any. And that was put together because recommendations are made to the department from healthcare providers, and they're to consider, the department, the physicians would consider recommendations. The word any was added because there are sometimes they don't make recommendations. They just make reports. So it's a housekeeping measure that just corrects that sentence, because otherwise it would imply that there's always a recommendation, and that's not the case. The dash three amendments, thanks, were the ones that we spoke about last time. Those are the ones that provide for a contested case hearing. And the issue was that if you're moving the physician position from Department of Health Services over to DMV, you create the illusion anyway that you might have the fox watching the hen house, where you've got the agency that employs a physician making the decision to either terminate someone's driver's license or deny them eligibility. And what this does is introduce or ensures due process by having the opportunity for that individual that's been denied eligibility or has been suspended to ask for a contested case hearing with an administrative law judge. And that provides the due process that we felt was missing from this without that amendment.
Thank you. Any more discussions or clarification? Okay, so is there any objection to the dash two amendments?
I move the dash two amendments.
Dash two.
Dash two.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing none, the dash two amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendments to House Bill 2176.
Representative Tomei moves the dash three amendments dated 37 of 07 to House Bill 2176. Any discussion? Seeing none.
So adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2176 as amended by dash one and dash two amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Dash two and three.
Representative Tomei moves House Bill...
Amendments two and three, sorry.
Okay. Representative Tomei moves House Bill 2176 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, the only discussion I'd offer is thank you for your patience in having that review. I appreciate it.
No, and I appreciate you stopping me. Don't want to make any mistakes. Those of the opinion House Bill 2176 should be reported to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler? Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Byer?
Aye. And the record show Representative Butler is excused. House Bill 2176 has received the required majority of votes, and I declare it passed.
I think we can put this on the consent calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Any objection? So moved. Okay, House Bill 2567. I open a work session on House Bill 2567.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 2567 is our studded tire bill. You have the dash one amendments, which replace the original measure. Excuse me. The dash one amendments allow retractable studded tires to be treated as traction tires under Oregon Transportation Commission rules. It defines retractable studded tires. It deletes the term extending and replaces it with projecting in reference to violation exemptions for vehicles equipped with retractable studded tires when those studs are of a metal or other material projecting beyond the tread surface of the tire and are used to augment traction between only November 1st and April 1st. and it allows a tire dealer to sell tires equipped with non-lightweight studs if those studs are indeed retractable. And those are with the dash one amendments. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith.
Quick question.
Yes. Representative Smith.
I have a question. What was the consequence if the tire, if the studs don't retract? They're meant to retract, but because of equipment malfunction, they don't retract. Are they then punishable just like any other car who has studs on after the deadline?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but it is true that if those are protruding outside of the time limits, and it's my understanding also they would be a yellow color or some kind of color device, so it's obvious to law enforcement if those are indeed not retracted by the right date, and if it's either from a malfunction or just forgetting, they would be subject to fine after the April 1st date.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2567.
Representative Gilman moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2567, dated 2/2/07. Any discussion?
I love this bill.
Uh-huh. Seeing none, those of the opinion, the dash two, well, actually, any objections? Seeing none, the dash two amendments are adopted.
I move, Madam Chair, I move 2567 to the floor with a two-pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you. Representative Gilman moves the House Bill 2567 as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion House Bill 2567 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Amended recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler, excuse. Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Beyer.
Aye. The motion carries. Does someone want to carry this one or consent?
I'll volunteer. It's probably because of its new technology. It'd be a good idea to explain it rather than put it on consent. Yeah.
Thank you.
You want to roll the die around on the block?
I don't want to fire.
Just for the record, don't you also have Les Schwab in your district? Mm-hmm. Have fun explaining that one.
The case.
Have fun with that one.
Oh, okay. Representative Gilman will be carrying this to the floor. Any objections? I'm sure everybody is going to jump at that one. All right. And, okay, 2276. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2276. Want to remind us?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2276 allows private schools to be reimbursed for courses in traffic safety education from the Student Driver Safety Fund. It directs the department to establish by rule a maximum amount per pupil that a private school may charge for a course if they are indeed receiving voluntarily that state reimbursement. It prescribes an effective date of July 1st, 2008. And we do have the dash one amendments. You'll see actually to be technically correct regarding what type of schools would be receiving this reimbursement, all references to just simply private schools are now replaced with commercial driver training schools throughout the bill. We do have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this measure as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. Colleagues, is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2276.
Representative Tomei moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2276, dated 3/6/07. Any discussion? No questions? I don't need to bring anyone up? All right. Those of the, any objections? Seeing none, the dash one amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2276 as amended. Let's see, it goes to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Tomei moves House Bill 2276 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended, and the bill will be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. And no discussion. Those of the opinion, House Bill 2276 should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler, excused. Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Byer.
Aye. House Bill 2276, having received the required majority, is cleared passed. Thank you. All right, now we're going to get down to the big one.
We've all been waiting for
me. Yes. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2273, and if Amy would like to come forward and maybe walk us through the amendments.
Madam Chair, while she's coming up, maybe I could just say a quick word of thanks to all those who participated in our work groups. As I'm sure we'll discover in the course of this conversation, it's a pretty complicated topic with a lot of permutations and implications, and I think the product that we've come up with gets us well on the way to returning to compliance and sets us up to have a more full discussion about a lot of the issues that we uncovered. So thanks to Amy and to everybody else who participated.
And I neglected to let Judith at least remind us what bill we're hearing.
Oh,
but you don't need to do that in advance. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2273 is the measure that modifies definitions of nonconforming sign, reconstruction, relocation applicable to Oregon's billboard law. This is a measure that the legislature is considering because the Oregon Supreme Court had determined the previous billboard laws were unconstitutional. And so you have before you now the Dash 2 amendments. This measure does not currently have a subsequent referral, but we do have approval from the Speaker to move the bill to Ways and Means if the committee so chooses.
Thank you. All right. Do you want to go ahead and get us started?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. Back here again on House Bill 2273 to fix the Oregon Motorist Information Act. Again, you have before you the Dash 2 amendments, which are mostly clerical fixes from the Dash 1s. This came out of a work group that the chair authorized. We met three times. It was chaired by Representative Reed. Representative Butler was present at most of those meetings. We went over quite a few issues, and most of the changes that end up in the bill really are tweaks more than anything. The exception to that is the addition of an interim task force to go over some of the much more contentious issues within billboard regulation. If you'd like, I can go through section by section again.
Representative Smith.
I just had a question at the appropriate time. Appropriate time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I just need a quick reminder. House Bill 2273 is being introduced because right now we do not have an Oregon billboard law.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that's a bit of an overstatement.
Okay.
The Supreme Court ruling was that we could no longer require permits on outdoor advertising signs. The department's position is that we still have those underlying regulations, for instance, regarding zoning, spacing, that sort of thing, still exists. But the primary enforcement mechanism, which is the permit system, is gone, which makes my job this side of impossible. But it's a subtle but I think important difference. But there are regulations out there, but our ability to enforce it has been really undercut.
Can I, just as a follow-up, so I'm really clear on this. So if a citizen of the state of Oregon met the current zoning requirements, placement requirements, et cetera, there's nothing that would stop them from today going out and digging the hole and putting a sign up, so long as they met the zoning requirements, placement requirements, et cetera.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that's exactly right.
One last follow-up. And I'm sure if I went through this in detail, I'd have my answer. This is the, what are we going to do with those people who are opportunistic, entrepreneurial, capitalistic, who are out there placing signs as we speak? What is going to occur with them?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, two-part answer to that. To those folks you described, Representative Smith, who are finding those legal sites, zoning's correct, spacing, got their local permit sign-off, under this bill and the Dash 2 amendments, those folks are going to receive a grandfathered permit as of the effective date of the act. They have to apply, submit the application, but as long as it met all of those regs, it's going to receive a permit from the state and be considered a legal sign. There are also folks out there during this time putting up signs in spots that the state considers not legal. The zoning, the spacing, the size, what have you, does not meet the underlying regs. And under this bill and the Dash 2 amendments, the state would be would not issue them a permit. If they applied for a permit for the sign, the state would say no, you're not entitled to one of those permits, and the state would be pursuing removal of those signs.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. To go through section by section, I'll skip over some of the more basic ones, I suppose. Section 2 of the bill, and with the Dash 2 amendments, gives ODOT the ability to investigate whether compensation is changing hands. Recall that the main thrust of this bill is to go away from the on-premise, off-premise distinction, which is the basis of sign regulation today, to a different distinction where we ask whether that sign, there's compensation changing hands for that sign, or whether that sign is placed at the location of some kind of business or some location open to the public. And that's going to be, those are going to be the two questions that determine whether or not you need a permit and need to meet all those zoning, spacing, and other regulations. So Section 2 talks about we need to be able to investigate whether compensation is changing hands, and it gives us the authority under Section 2 to do that. One of the parts of the Dash 2 amendment pulls out any kind of reference to our ability to go to court for contempt. The law already provides that if there's a court order and somebody violated it, we can go to court for contempt. We don't need to put it into this bill. So we pulled that out in the amendment. Section 3 talks about, this is the minutia of sign law, but signs on bus and transit shelters. Just places it into a new section. Section 4 of the bill establishes continuation of the existing relocation credit bank. You may recall from the first public hearing on this matter, the relocation credit system is quite a point of contention and will be one of those issues discussed during that interim task force, but it makes very clear in the bill that it's simply, at this point, we are simply continuing the existing system of having relocation credits and that those have personal ownership.
Quick question.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going back to my previous question, right now the bank is 2,500?
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, the total number of standing sign permits plus that relocation credit bank, sort of permits in waiting or signs in waiting, totals roughly 2,400, 2,500 signs.
What do you anticipate, thank you, Madam Chair, what do you anticipate will be the number once this becomes law as a result of folks who are out there right now trying to take advantage of the opportunity to put up signs not needing the permit? Is it going to be a large increase, or do you think it will just be a handful of folks,
Chair,
or a handful of sites, excuse me?
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, it's a little difficult to say, to speculate. I think a reasonable expectation would be on the order of 50 to 100 signs, but I could honestly be way off on that. So, again, without that permit system out there, there's a lot going on that I have no ability to know about.
Okay. Thank you.
Section 5, these are the definitional amendments. Again, we're getting rid of business identification sign permits and directional sign permits, the feeling that they were too susceptible to a content-based challenge. clarifying some terms. And in the amendments, we just give some more specificity to one of the terms. We also add in a definition of what's called a travel plaza. This is for the sake of the Travel Information Council. These are the folks that do the blue and white gas food lodging signs. They had a small fix, and those signs are part of the Oregon Motorist Information Act, although they're completely different kinds of signs. So we've added that in, and from what I could tell from the work group, nobody had any concerns whatsoever about that. And in this section two, we get to the first of several spots where we try to do some conforming language between the words legally and lawfully. Throughout the statutes and the amendments, the words legally and lawfully are used. They mean the same thing, and so for the sake of consistency, everything's going to lawfully or unlawfully, and any reference to legal, illegal is taken out for that consistency. Section 6 of the bill, changing the qualifying date for that outdoor advertising sign permit, going again to Representative Smith's question, if you have a legal sign on that date, you're going to be able to get a permit. Section 7, just some cleanup things, requiring us to comply with federal regulations could, in theory, put us at odds with what our Supreme Court told us to do, so we've just taken that out so we all know what we're doing. Section 8, taking out a slightly content-based requirement on prohibited types of signs so that we're not, again, running afoul of the Supreme Court's direction. Section 9, more cleanup, clarifying the punishment for crossing.
Representative Smith.
I'm sorry.
Question?
Thank you.
That's okay. I jumped in
early. I apologize.
That's okay.
On Section 9, I see maintain was scratched out for control. Can you walk through the committee what the intent of the subcommittee's work was on that?
Absolutely. Chair Beyer and Representative Smith, this was an industry concern that they brought to us. Folks need to have a permit on their sign at all times. And then when they want to reconstruct that sign, they have to get a permit from us. And if they want to relocate it to a new spot, they also have to get a permit to do that function. But that permit needs to be on the sign at all times. The language in the statute was you need a permit to maintain the sign. And part of the definition of maintain is that you own it, you allow it to exist. And so that was the reasoning for that part of the statute. You need a permit to maintain your sign, to have it. Another part of the definition of maintaining your sign is cleaning it, changing the copy, that sort of thing. And there was concern that that statute would be used or could in theory be used to where the department would be requiring folks to get a permit every time they wanted to paint the thing or change out the copy, which is not at all current practice. I don't think would ever happen, but we were fine with changing that word to control, meaning that to allow your sign to exist, to have the thing, you have to have that permit on it. So that's the change.
So just for the record, control in no way refers to the message or content or anything related to the First Amendment in terms of entrepreneurs' message up on the board?
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Again, in Section 9, punishment for crossing right-of-way. You can't cross I-5 right-of-way to access your sign. That's a big no-no. And again, more clarification. And also in here, that change for folks to have 2 more months to be able to construct their sign after they've gotten a permit, that's helpful to industry and was an ODOT proposal to go from 120 days to 180 days. Section 10, deleting the permit exemption for on-premise signs. That, again, goes to the crux of what we're doing here, getting rid of that on-premise, off-premise distinction and going to a different one to satisfy the Supreme Court. Section 11, grandfathers into a compliance eligibility for permit legally erected. Again, back to Representative Smith's question, if it was legally erected, as of the date that bill becomes effective, you're going to get that grandfathered permit. Same thing for Section 12, just for a different type of requirement. Section 13, this was a pretty significant change in the amendments. Originally, There was a lot of amendment going on under Section 13, which talks about just compensation, which occurs, mostly occurred actually in the 70s when the first billboard laws were put in. And non-conforming signs, the state required most of them to be taken down, paid just compensation, something like 4,000 signs, and millions of dollars were spent to do that. But 30 years later, that's part of the statute is frankly very arcane and isn't applicable most of the time. So in the original bill, the attempt was simply to clean it up and make it relevant to today. Caused some heartburn in that just compensation is understandably a pretty complex and touchy issue. And so in the amendments you'll see, except for some very basic stylistic changes that Ledge Council thought were appropriate, we've gone back to the current ORS language and will address those arcane things during that interim task force to make sure we're not missing anything, to make sure that we're not changing the way we sort of do just compensation, so that we can fix that without trying to rush through. You know, we're all trying to get a bill passed pretty quickly, and this is complex stuff, and it can be saved for the interim.
Madam Chair.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you. On the same section, just to follow the line of thought that Representative Smith has brought out, a sign that is constructed during this kind of window of opportunity, am I reading this section correctly, that it may not be relocated after the date of the of this act?
In Section 13?
Correct. Section 13, I don't know what page we're on because I can't get the page there on it. This is page 10, lines 344. I can't read that. 34K. Such sign may not be relocated unless relocation permit has been issued pursuant. Permit may not be issued to relocate an outdoor sign that was not lawfully in existence. So I'm just wondering whether how that definition fits.
Section 13 there. Why do I have two Section 13?
I guess my question is are the signs are being constructed currently, will they be defined as lawfully, or are they somehow outside the law?
I see what you're saying, Chair Beyer, Representative Buckley. If they're lawfully erected, they'd be able to get the permit, and then they're totally their relocation rights, reconstruction rights are completely available to them. So that lawfully constructed means, was it in the right zone? Was it spaced the right way? And then yes, it's available for relocation.
Thank you.
I believe we're on to Section 14 now, amendment to the relocation provisions, allowing single-face signs to relocate as a back-to-back sign. It's a technical cleanup that helps both the industry and the department. We took out a line that said that a relocation under this new system has to be for the same type of sign. Frankly, I'm not sure what that meant originally when it was in there, so that's coming out. And an amendment in here about having to do with the scenic byway provision, I believe. So we make clear in the original bill what the rules are for signs on a scenic byway. But it is possible under federal law for parts of a byway to be basically taken off the byway system. Hasn't happened in Oregon yet, but it's certainly a possibility that it could. And so it makes clear that if that were to happen, then that I refer to it as de-designated or a segmented portion that came off the byway. Now we go back to the regular sign rules for that portion that's segmented out. So that's just made clear in the amendments. Section 15, again, continuation of the relocation credit bank. And again, that relocation credit bank issue will be talked about, I'm sure, extensively in that interim task force. 16, more cleanup. 17, more cleanup. 18, making clear that these types of cases are subject to contested case proceedings. That's nowhere else in the statute prior to this, and so we just want to make that abundantly clear that this is a contested case hearing kind of set of regulations. Section 19, again, more cleanup of that just compensation issue where we're going to go back essentially to the current ORS for now and then talking about it more in the interim. Section 20, this is more of that Travel Information Council fix that's being put into our bill and that, again, nobody in our group had any concerns about that they expressed in the group or to me. Section 21, cleanup of the designated scenic areas statutes so that terms match throughout the statutes. 22 is the same thing. Section 3 is cleanup of statutes regarding our removal of signs from right-of-way. No privately owned sign is allowed in state highway right-of-way. It's a safety issue, and we just make clear that they can't be there and what we can do to get them removed promptly and safely. 24, cleanup of the junkyard statutes, part of the Highway Beautification Act federally has to do with junkyards, so we're just doing some conforming language there where it does fall under our OMIA statutes.
Really quick question,
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back on Section 22, and I'm on line 9 of page 15, no sign shall, a sign that is visible from a state highway may not be erected or maintained in an area that has been established by final order as a scenic area. So for rural eastern Oregon, there could be long, long stretches of highway that are not eligible for signage.
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, that may or may not be true. Designated scenic areas is a specific part of the statute that was created actually in the 1960s as a result of a ballot measure that tried to completely do away with billboards. And after that ballot measure failed, they came up with this designated scenic area statute. And a committee was formed and grassroots folks came and created these stretches of highway that were designated scenic. And once it was designated, no new outdoor advertising signs were allowed, and the ones that were there after a seven-year window were removed and just compensation was paid. We have records of where all those areas are, and they've been so. There haven't been any new ones since the early 70s, and the statutes for doing those kinds of things have been done away with, but they do still exist.
Quick follow-up. So is there any allowance in rural eastern Oregon for with the, and I know I'm kind of delving off into another issue, but to allow signs within a 5 miles of a community, I'm thinking of several of the scenic byways in my district. They're 90 to 100 miles long, and that eliminates all opportunity for advertising of the one gas station or the one motel hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe the interim work group ought to at least take just a look at, you know, creating a buffer to where scenic byways are protected, but within a 3 mile or 5 mile area, allowance of one or two in that area, just so visitors, if nothing else, visitors coming through to the area, don't know what's available to them.
And Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, there are two different things going on. Designated scenic areas are different from scenic byways, and I do understand your issue. And that
correct me. I didn't know that.
No, and that, but it's true that, I mean, effectively, the same effect is that no, at least no new signs are allowed in either spot, new outdoor advertising signs. And so part of this statute, though, is acknowledging that segmentation process, which is roughly, I think, something like what you're talking about, where a piece could come off of a byway, that process, it's clear in federal law that is a possibility, and there would be a process to do that. And so, you know, it's certainly something that the department would, it's there, it's a possible to be done. So,
well, I just quick thought on that. I can just see where that benefits all Oregonians. You know, quite often folks who've never been out of my area will come driving through at 9 o'clock at night, assuming that there's additional fuel, and there isn't, or that there's additional lodging, and there isn't. And to me, it seems like there's an opportunity to promote a community while at the same time provide a service to other Oregonians who are coming out that way. We ought to at least allow some type of balance there. But again,
another issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Smith, maybe this would address some of that question. Maybe this, would the Tribal Information Council signs fit into a situation like that?
Chair Beyer, Representative Reed, absolutely. The Tribal Information Council, again, the blue and white sign folks who do gas, food, lodging, and tourist-oriented signs, they're not at all restricted by scenic byways, designated scenic areas. Their signs go on right-of-way.
They have quite a bit of latitude.
Thank you.
And then I think we come down to the new Section 25, again, that Travel Information Council fix. But again, nobody in the work group who does billboards, this is completely really another issue, so that had no objection in the group. And then Section 26 is the interim task force, which is the, I would say, the biggest change from the original bill. And there was quite a bit of testimony at the first hearing about the relocation credit bank and how they're privately owned things and should that be, and all kinds of issues regarding that. And it was deemed in the best interest of getting this bill on track so we can fix our problem with the Supreme Court to take some of those real contentious issues and put them into an interim task force. That's at least what's shown in the Dash 2 amendments, or the thought behind the Dash 2 amendments. So we have folks on this interim task force, a member of the Senate, a member of the House, a governor designee from the Department of Transportation, and then several folks from industry, and we've the Dash 2 amendments break those up into equal representation from the folks who were described in that first public hearing, who have quite a few of those relocation credits, and folks described in that hearing who don't have many or any of those credits, so that those two sort of sides of that argument can be equally represented on that interim task force, and then other folks on here as well, people who receive compensation for outdoor advertising, an advertising agency, one person from a scenic group, and some of the other issues besides that relocation credit bank issue that would be discussed per the Dash 2s. Would be discussing TriVision signs, that's a particular technology, and discussing other emerging technologies within the industry, the possibility of increasing penalties for those who do violate our laws, and trying to see if there were other things. Oh, and the just compensation issue that I discussed, where we decided it was a little too complex to handle right now.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this will be my last question, I promise on this.
Ask all the questions you want.
I support the work that's been done on House Bill 2273. I think all of you folks have made great strides. The one question I have is, why do we need to put a task force into statute? I mean, I'm assuming the Department of Transportation is committed to working on this issue, and so long as the Speaker and the Senate President are on board, to me that's...
Representative Smith, as a freshman, you can feel free to correct my naivete, perhaps, but I think given the seriousness and complexity of the issues that we confronted and uncovered, I think generally the people who were involved would feel better about having a commitment to this sort of thing, and you'll also note there's a sunset, so it goes away. It's not something that's going to continue to exist, but I think that will help everybody feel better about where we're going.
And Chair Beyer, members of the committee, I believe that's it for the high points on the bill and the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2273, dated March 9th.
Representative Reed moves the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2273, dated 3907. Any discussion?
Great job.
Seeing none. Any opposition? Seeing none, the dash two amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2273 be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
With the
Excuse me. I forgot one of the issues we discussed in the work group was the impact of needing to permit all of these signs and the additional workload and the potential that might have for the department. So we talked about a subsequent referral to Ways and Means to address the financial implications. So I would amend my own motion to include a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Reed, just as a hint, you may want to make sure you get those co-chairs on board as soon as possible on this, because if that fiscal comes in over 50 grand and they get busy, this may take a low priority, and we'd hate to have a task force without staff. And now that it's going to be in statute, that would murk it up even more, so I'd get down there and grab those folks.
That's a good point, Representative Smith, and not only that, the period of openness that you alluded to several times is also upon us, so another good reason to move quickly.
Yes, okay, Representative Reed has moved House Bill 2273 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, we're getting some gestures from the...
Can I say a word, Madam Chair, about the Ways and Means issue, with your permission?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's where bills go to die. We don't want that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know this is a work session, and I appreciate it very much. Dave Barrows representing Clear Channel Outdoor. I am very concerned about how this is going to slow this bill down dramatically. Things go down to Ways and Means, and they do not come popping back out, and we all know that. That's not a slug at Ways and Means. It's just the way it works. I would suggest, with all due respect, that the Department of Transportation's budget can be adjusted if the co-chairs and the members of the Ways and Means Committee agree to reflect the additional work that Amy's department is going to have. It doesn't have to be done in this bill. And if I may, Madam Chair, I'd like to just pass out very quickly and say just a word about the signs that are going up right now. At last count, we have, and I can show you pictures of every one of them, 46 new signs. We know of 46. 16 of them comply with the spacing and other requirements that Amy talked to you about earlier. They are not violative of existing statute or rule. 30 do violate. They are illegal signs, and they are going up as fast as we can speak. And if you will just quickly turn to page 2 of this little handout, this is a company that has never operated in Oregon. And they are asking, they're sending letters up and down I-84 that we know of, and probably other places, saying, have we got a deal for you? Mm-hmm. This is a get-rich-quick scheme. Let's rock and roll. There is going to be, as they put it, a narrow but viable opportunity. And while free enterprise is great, and I'm a strong advocate and supporter of it, we still do have rules, and all I'm saying, Madam Chair, is time is a-wasting, and I'm very deeply concerned, and I believe that you can accomplish what you want with a letter to the co-chair saying we have, in this bill, added to Amy's workload, and we urge you to put inside the Department of Transportation's budget sufficient funds for her to accomplish her goal, and not have the bill that closes the door that we've all talked about, how important it is to move this forward with alacrity, sitting down there fighting it out with K-12 and who knows what else, although the ODOT budget is off by itself. But it will be months before they get to that. So thank you for letting me speak, Madam Chair. And I would urge, with all due respect, that Representative Reed, and if I may, Madam Chair, just say he has done an excellent job of running the work group, and the bill should move to the floor and over to the still have the Senate to deal with, and let's move the bill forward and close the door sooner rather than later. That's my only suggestion, and I thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me interrupt.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm on board on this. I support this legislation 100%. Dave is exactly right. If we want this issue to move, having a subsequent referral down to Ways and Means is going to slow this thing up and potentially kill this legislation. Last session, I served as chair of the Transportation Budget Committee. I know what's going to occur, and this thing's going to die down there. And so if we need to solve this issue, I would take that out, and I'd get it moving. And as Dave said, get the Speaker and the President together, get ODOT together, and they'll solve this problem in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Guys, what everyone do.
Representative Reed.
I appreciate what's been said, and I don't think we should do anything to slow the progress down, but I do think it's pretty important that Ways and Means have a quick look at it, and I will commit to working hard to make that process as quick as possible. I think it's, you know, as we've talked about, consistency and making sure that as we spend money, it's getting a full vetting, but I will commit to working hard and trying to move that as quickly as possible.
Thank you, and I also second that. This is something that is a priority for me to get through. So, Representative Tomei.
Thank you. I'm just curious if we know what the fiscal is on this. Do you have any idea?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei, I believe for the 07-09 biennium, the fiscal we're looking at is on the order of about $400,000.
It's dead down there.
Yeah, we run the program with two staff statewide, and at about $200,000 a year, we run it on a shoestring. So we figure we're going to need two new staff. So that's where the fiscal comes from. But I understand your concern, Representative.
Further question?
Yes.
So what is the total budget of the Department of Transportation?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei, I apologize strenuously, but I have absolutely no idea. I can sure get you that information as quickly as possible, and I may be able to get it at the back of the room. I apologize for not knowing that.
I'm just curious what proportion of
it's important that I understand that you can't use highway dollars for this type of project. And so while their budget's nearly $3 billion, there's only a small pool of fungible dollars they have. And again, I'm with you on this. And maybe do whatever you want. I'm stating to you experience with a price tag like that. This thing's heading down to a graveyard down there. And so we don't want that to occur.
Right. And I also want to point out that we do have two co-chairs that also sit on that committee that can help us get this through down there. So any other comments? Okay. Representative Reed has, and I've already done that, haven't I? Okay. Those of the opinion, House Bill 2273, I think, should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Butler, excused. Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Chair Beyer?
Aye. The motion passes.
Good night. And yes. Kudos to Representative Reed and other people I know who've worked so hard on this, and we appreciate, especially the freshman, throwing him to the sharks. So we appreciate it.
Very, very friendly sharks. Thank you,
Representative. And I too want to thank him, and hopefully we didn't impugn a group of people out there by by reference. And thank everybody for participating in this. And I am going to adjourn committee.
Thank you,
and thank you, everybody.